So let me turn with me, please, to Matthew 28, and I'll open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the intercessors that are with us tonight. I thank you that you are with us tonight. And I ask that you would settle things around us. As we seek your face tonight, as we hear your word, Lord God, I ask that you would settle things around us. Settle things, Lord God. That we can hear your voice. We can pray according to your will. We can release your word. And even across the miles, Lord God, we stand united as one. And what a beautiful thing this is, Lord God. In your precious name, amen. When I began to pray, I actually had a vision of, and it was a vision I've had before, but it the Lord just flashed it before me again. And I saw the intercessors standing together, even though we're across the miles, I saw us connected to one another and our presence in the nations, providing a protection over the nations. We're connected across the miles, across the waters. We're connected. And the Lord sees it as one body standing in the gap for the nations. And it's a beautiful thing when he looks down upon his children and they are praying for the nations. And so I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about the revolution that the Lord told me about back in August of last year. He told me that 2023 would be the year of revolution, and it would be a revolution in government, it would be a revolution in the church, and it would be a revolution in finance. And, you know, we're already seeing these things begin, and as the year came to a close, I spoke more and more on this as the Lord was prompting me to do so. And one of the most important things really is a revolution in the church. And, you know, it may seem sometimes like I'm hard on the church, but it's because I love the church so much. The church is like a rebellious teenager right now. And we want to see it's the ecclesia arise and fulfill their destiny in the earth. The Lord, when he released, before he went up to heaven and he spoke to his disciples, he released them to go unto all the earth and to spread the gospel. He released them. In Matthew 28, verse 18, we're just going to read that. Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, speaking to his disciples, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age." These are his closing words in Matthew 28. His closing words of Matthew. And one of the things I love about the book of Matthew is Matthew speaks of the kingdom of heaven. He mentions the kingdom of heaven some 32 times Why? Because Jesus came to bring forth the kingdom of heaven into the earth. The ecclesia is to carry the essence of the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Jesus was the light of the world. And when he released to his disciples the call and the commission to go and disciple the nations, it was to speak truth to power. It was to disciple the nations in the ways of the Lord. It was to prepare them and equip them to lead even their people in a godly manner. Go ye unto all the nations, releasing the government of God. Even if we cannot reach those leaders, we as the ecclesia are called to release the government of God in the earth. Our presence, our very presence restrains evil. And the greater measure we walk in the authority of God, is the measure to which we restrain evil. Even a babe in Christ, because the light of God dwells within them, restrains evil when they walk into a room. How is that possible? Because the light of God enters a room. And the enemy must flee. The song that we would sing as children, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine all the time. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time." How do we do that? How do we keep our light shining? How do we keep from the enemy? See, we don't hide our light under a bushel. The enemy suppresses our light through fear, through doubt, through distraction. But when we walk in the fullness of what God has given us, when we are in his word, when we are people of prayer, the authority of God rises up within us through the Spirit of the Lord. And that light burns brighter and brighter and brighter. And when we walk into a room, the enemy will flee. We don't see ourselves as the vessels through which his Spirit will flow. Our messages within the church have been dumbed down. Our messages have been shortened. And this is by design. You know, we can condemn pastors, but it is often not their fault. The board will stifle them, shorten your messages, or we'll find someone else. People don't give as much when your message is short or when your message is long. People don't give as much when you bring so much Bible into your teaching. Stop it. We have friends who are pastors. This actually happens. It is by design. Organizations have planted people within churches to dumb the church down and strip the church of its power. Because the enemy knows if he can put the light of the Lord under a bushel, he can roam to and fro and see who he can devour. That's why being people of prayer, that's why our ministry is so dedicated to prayer, because we understand how to make that light shine. That's why Mom gives messages on drawing closer to God and walking in Christ-likeness, because it's only through this that our light can truly shine. There is a revolution taking place in the church today. And we're going to see it. We're watching it take place with the Methodist movement right now as the fight for a church denomination split over gay marriage, of all things. Wesley, the holiness movement. His heart would break to see what's taking place. But those who are taking a stand for righteousness, God will look upon and honor in this hour. Churches that will stand for life, God will look upon and bless in this hour. Churches that stand for truth and justice, God will look upon and bless in this hour. Why? Because we have been given the commission to disciple nations. He gave the commission in Mark 16. He said unto them, go into all the world, preach and publish openly. This is in the Amplified Version. The good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts and relies on the gospel, and him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel, and him whom it sets it forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. Are we driving out demons? In my name they'll speak in new languages. Are we speaking in new languages? They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. And believe it or not, we won't get sick laying hands on them. Do we believe that? The ecclesia has to come to a place where we will step out into the commissioning of the Lord on the body. We must step out. The enemy is not going to stop. It's up to us to let our light so shine among men. That the enemy cannot put us under a bushel anymore. I had a vision some time ago. It was last year. And I saw people gathered in houses, in churches, in businesses, in little stores on, you know, like in the little strip mall. But that's where they were having church. And as they prayed, that building began to glow. And there was an ebb and a flow of a warm light As they studied the word, that building began to glow, and there was an ebb and a flow as they studied the word. And there was darkness all around. But that place of worship shone, and I saw people began to run to those places because they knew that the answer could be found there. In a world of darkness, in a world where there is fear, in a world where there's uncertainty, that place of light would be their answer. And as the people ran and began to flood into these buildings, the buildings began to expand. It was, I can't even explain it. The building simply expanded to accommodate the people. And as I was pulled away from the site, you could see that in an entire city, these were the places where there was light. And in the spirit, they were connected to one another. And the nation began to glow, overtaking the darkness. There was purity, purity of word, purity in prayer, purity in worship. And the hearts within those buildings burned. They burned with the Spirit of God. They burned. This is what I see when I pray for the church. This is the possibility, but more than that, it's the promise. This is what God is birthing. So when I'm a little tough on the church, it's because I see the potential and the call of the church is to occupy. In Luke 19, in the parable of the 10 talents, he said to occupy until I come. Occupy. We don't build bunkers and we don't store up food. We occupy. That means we go out into the marketplace. We engage with our fellow man, and we occupy. Our presence fills the marketplace. Our presence fills our communities. Our presence fills our cities, our states, and our nations. We are called to occupy. And it's through the occupation under the commission and the call of the Lord that we will see the things that Mom has seen, that we will see the beauty of Melchizedek come forth, that we will see the things that I have seen come forth. This is how we see it birthed in the earth, a people who are called out of the world and up to God. to be developed, to be discipled, to be trained, who will go back out into the marketplace, and they will disciple the people, and they will disciple the nations, and their presence will release the government of God in the earth. There is a revolution in this hour. And the church, the ecclesia, must lead the charge. More than two decades ago, the Lord said that the kingdom age had come. And I read the scriptures 32 times in the book of Matthew. Jesus referred to the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, the kingdom of God coming forth is referred to many times over. Why is that? Is it possible that the ecclesia, those called out of the world and up to God, are supposed to be more focused on kingdom activities, kingdom of heaven activities, than on church activities? The kingdom of heaven is upon us. The revolution is upon us. Are we willing to occupy? In Joshua, I think it's 8 or 9, there is a move that they did when going into AI. You know, this is the second time into AI. You know, the first time was an abysmal failure, but the second time, Joshua holds out his spear in a prophetic act. We're taking this city. In fulfillment of the promises given to our forefather, Abraham, we're going and we're taking the city. And he held up the spear, and the men went to the city. And when those in Ai saw the Israelites coming, they were ready. And they began to charge at the Israelites. And the Israelites began to flee, Ai and its king, thinking, ha ha ha, another victory. These Israelites thinking they're taking our land, they've got another thing coming. And those warriors in Ai fought after the Israelites. There was only about 12,000 in Ai. How many mighty men could they really muster? So when they left the city, two groups on either side came from around, having hidden in the woods. They came from the backside, and they descended upon those warriors. and they took them out, and they went in, and they took the city, and they occupied the land that God had promised Abraham. They took and they occupied. It's called a pincher's move. They occupied. We as a people have to grab hold of what the Lord is saying in the time in which we are living. We are in a time when He is saying, it's a revolution. I want you to take back this land that I have given. I have given this land to my people. And my promise in 1607 to Mr. Hunt was what? He declared from the shores of Virginia that the gospel, this nation would be a nation from which the gospel would not only pour out across the land, but across to the nations of the earth. He said, we're here to occupy and reoccupy it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we now are in a season of time where the Lord is calling His ecclesia to come out and to go forth and to occupy this nation once again. To put our foot on the soil and take back our cities, take back our schools, take back our places of government, take back our states, and take back our nation. We're to go forth into the marketplace, take back the media, take back the financial realm, take back government. I remember the vision so vividly. We talk about it all the time. The eagle and the five weights. We must occupy. Every one of those, and we will see those weights that are binding that eagle come down. We will see it. But we must occupy. Now, is the hour. This nation, one nation under God, this nation, the last stand against tyranny. This nation has been blessed by God because He knew that the moment would come when His ecclesia would arise. They would shake off the shackles and the bondages that have been placed upon us. And they would occupy not only this nation, but they would release it to the nations of the earth. The Lord is saying His glory is going to pour in 2024. And if we're going to have a nation from which His glory can pour out across and to other nations, we've got to be a people who are ready, who are equipped to occupy. A people who are hungry for the kingdom of heaven. Because when we're hungry for the kingdom of heaven, we will consume it until we live and we breathe the kingdom of heaven back out on this earth. This year, I'm going to share a couple more things and then I'm going to hand this over. The Lord told me he's going to deal with the Dems and the rhinos in an unprecedented way. That's why it's so important that the ecclesia arises so we can occupy those seats. Great exposure is coming to those who tout conservative values and do not live them. We will see those we trusted come down and a new breed of patriots arise and take their place. And MAGA, while it'll be condemned by media and Democrats alike, will be elevated by the Lord in miraculous or divine ways. Why is that important? Because that is what is going to restore the 1776 Constitution. That is what's going to restore the rule of law. As I shared in March of last year, we are going to see financial struggles. We are going to see shortages. But the Lord told me if we would pray, we would see miraculous provisions. Miraculous provisions. Like the widow who Elijah stayed with, whose grain and oil never ran dry. Like Jesus when he fed the 5,000. Miraculous provision. Because God is going to reveal himself in his personal engagement with his children through this. It's not a time to be fearful. It's a time to ignite our faith. Why is this important? Because we need a revolution in finance. BlackRock is going to take some tremendous hits. But God is allowing this to expose them. We have no idea the powerhouse behind them and how they govern nations through that agency. But God is going to bring things back together in a new and a righteous manner. That's why the ecclesia has to be ready to occupy. There are places to fill. Positions that need the influence of a rod of righteousness in these realms. It's time to take the land. It's time to take back education. It's time to take back media. It's time. It's time. I'm going to share one more thing, and then I'm going to pray. And I have shared this before, so I'm just going to do an abbreviated version. During the Revolutionary War, the soldiers, and I'm sure that many of you have seen films on it, they fought for our nation. Many of them had no shoes. They didn't have weather-appropriate clothing. But there was an inner drive within them because they were fighting for this country to be set free from the tyranny of Great Britain. And the Lord sent his ministering angels to minister to them and strengthen them in the fight. The Lord will strengthen us in our fight. He will strengthen the intercessors. He will strengthen those he sends out on assignment. This is going to be one of the most exciting times. The many words that my mom has given, the words that I've given, we're about to see them realized. This is going to be one of the most exciting times in history. And when we look back at this, we will fall on our knees and worship God because he has given us the victory. 2023 is a year of revolution. Will we occupy? Will the ecclesia occupy? I believe so. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you, Lord God, for your people. I thank you, Father God, that you are speaking to us, that you are giving us, Lord God, wisdom and discernment. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to help us through this season of time and that you're going to ignite our faith to do as you have commissioned us, Lord God, as intercessors, or as people that you're sending out into positions of government or finance or education and so on. But Lord God, this is the hour you're going to stir it up within us and prepare us, Lord God, having already equipped us to go and take our nation back. And I thank you for that, Lord God. In your precious name, amen.